I had a very strange dream. I was walking through a golden temple under crystal domes and through dazzling halls full of all the things one could desire. There were masterpieces of human art and beings who seemed to lack nothing but appeared to be searching for something. Very strange creatures. The world is chaos, the more you have, the more you want. After September 11th, President Bush asked Americans to go shopping. This brain always wants to make money, I carry it inside. I would do it even if I were abandoned in the middle of the desert. There is always someone who tells you, you need this, you need that. It's the strategy of advertising to make you believe that you cannot be satisfied. Human beings are naturally ambitious. We have observed in evolution that as long as this mechanism does not become too strong, it perfectly serves the individual's goals. I would dare to say it is a symptom of a disease. We have to live in balance. If we do not achieve this, we are lost. I wonder if we are even a viable form of life. Maybe we are just a moment in evolution and one day we will be alongside the dinosaurs in cockroach museums. I would like to add something. We must remember that someday we will die. I have always wondered why we are like this. We are social and empathetic beings, and also egocentric and cruel. We give and take, create and destroy. What is our problem? What drives us? I start my search. Humanity is at a crossroads, I believe historical. The threat to the environment is so severe that it forces us to intervene. We should also ask why there are always wars and why so many people are unhappy. But the only answer we come up with is to keep cheerfully building shopping centers. All this is linked to excessive greed, and until we recognize it and propose solutions, we will literally be on the brink of extinction as a species. If we have to talk about Darwin, we have to talk about evolution. Darwin wanted to understand evolution and what his central proposal was. Exactly, natural selection. From the point of view of biological characteristics, humans are similar to other species in the instinct of survival, for example. But on the other hand, we are intelligent enough to be aware of our own existence. And the fact of feeling alive and being aware of it is a reason for great joy. On the other hand, we carry a terrible existential burden. If you know you are here, you also know that like every living being, one day you will cease to be. But if we spent all day thinking about that I am going to die, if I go out, a meteorite will fall on me, fear would paralyze us with terror. What we humans did was create what anthropologists call culture. And all cultures offer some formula of immortality. The great religions literally in the form of the afterlife, heaven, reincarnation, or symbolically through the belief that we will leave something for posterity. That is why we want to have children, build pyramids, compose symphonies, write great books, and have a lot of money. Humans feel the urge to possess many things because in psychological terms that suggests they can live forever. Desire, greed, and the constant pressure that brings so much discomfort and aggression are, according to Buddhist philosophy, the state resulting from a person constantly wanting to see something that is not true. We talk about three fundamental truths. The first is that things are transient. The second, the fundamental principle of everything is emptiness, the void. But we develop something in us that makes us forget the former. We try to make things permanent, and that struggle generates the third truth, suffering. Because we start closing ourselves to the material. An example, I have a shirt, and whenever I go shopping, I buy another shirt. You already have 12 shirts in the closet, but you buy another one. Now there are 13 just to have the feeling that you will live long enough to wear the 13 shirts or even more. Deep down, we constantly do things to reaffirm our impulse for immortality, to keep living, and not have to change anything. And that constant struggle causes many neuroses, of which the most severe is greed. Death is a very real physical phenomenon. It does not matter how good your symbols, your religion, your ideology, or your money are. They are just mere symbols. None manage to sufficiently minimize the fear of death. You can alleviate it, but you cannot get rid of it. And finally, to worsen it all, we also do not like the idea that we are animals. From a strictly biological point of view, we are no more valuable or lasting than beings or armadillos. The animal only takes what it needs, the animal called a human being does not. The planet hosts more than 7 billion people, and everyone wants something, wants more. Perhaps that is the secret of its success. We make instruments to translate greed into something measurable and, on the other hand, to put people in a state of greed. This is the balloon test. In it, we measure the predisposition to risk of the person participating in the experiment. Their task is to inflate a balloon as much as they want. The larger the balloon, the higher the value achieved. In every attempt, there is money at stake. The participant risks the balloon bursting and losing their money each time they inflate it. What we want to demonstrate is that people with a strong inclination to greed take more risks in this experiment and keep inflating the balloon longer than other participants. We also found that people predisposed to greed show a different brain reaction. In this graph, we see our brain's response to reward and punishment. The stronger the greed in an individual, the weaker the punishment signals will be. In that sense, what is interesting is that this is the state that these people want to maintain. An interesting phenomenon depicted in the classic experiments by Olds and Milner on how dopamine works in the brain. If electrodes are applied to rats exactly in that region of their brain and they are induced to stimulate the dopamine mechanism themselves by pressing a key, they will press that key until they kill themselves. And that is probably the biological mechanism that explains the reason for excessive greed. Most primates are very social, but these are unusually tolerant. In all aspects, there is a hierarchy. Everyone knows who is at the top. Who is at the top receives more, males get more partners, females get more food, etc. But it is not an absolute hierarchy where the one at the top gets everything. We observe things that are unusual among primates, especially regarding property. For example, how do you react if you receive more than I do or less than I do? That can be studied empirically. The experiment itself is very simple. Apes sitting next to each other receive easy tasks. They are alternately given a stone, they return it and get some food as a reward. The interesting thing is how one of them, who received an unattractive piece of food, reacts when seeing that the neighbor got something much better. This could be understood as an act of injustice. The other was given something better than me. Or it could provoke a response of greed, I see better food there, I want it. From an evolutionary point of view, the behavior we call greed, defined as gathering as many resources as possible, is important. Most animals live closer to the existential minimum than most of us. That's why if they do not aspire to get all the food possible, it would be a great risk for them. In human societies, however, greed, that need to take as much as possible, has translated into taking as much as possible at the expense of others. And that is something I believe does not exist in animals. Narcissus came one day to a spring so clear that he could see his reflection in it as in a mirror. Just by seeing his reflected image, he fell in love with his beauty. We also tend to see ourselves as the center of the world. The individual is increasingly important, and that is why we covet recognition and self-esteem. We hoard relationships, likes, photos, shoes, records. We are in love with ourselves like Narcissus. Being successful in business is an art, and if you master it, you can achieve things that others cannot even imagine. How much does it cost? Let's not talk about the international price, let's talk about our price. It is 700 square meters multiplied by 8 floors. From our market knowledge, we arrive at a price of $5,000 per square meter. We are in a capitalist society, and greed plays a fundamental role. All advertising produced, whether for television, the internet, or any other medium, creates needs. We tell ourselves we need things we don't really need, and in the end, we buy something we don't need. Each product is associated with a kind of emotional release. But how long does that happiness last? There are three essential components in human beings: greed, competition, and vanity. We cannot survive without these elements. If we are greedy, we compete. If we compete, we want to win. And if we win, we do it out of vanity to prove we are better than others. The question is, what makes us happy? What makes us happy is having experiences and relationships that are meaningful and make life worthwhile. That is, love, knowledge, artistic creation, human relationships. And these things precisely cannot be bought. Many sociologists and researchers have studied the relationship between income and happiness. It has been shown that beyond a certain level of income, we are no happier. Of course, if you are very poor, not having food or shelter causes great suffering. But once those basic needs are covered, additional money does not make us happier. It is like a tipping point. Up to that point, income and happiness increase together. From there, having more money no longer matters. What matters is the quality of life, job satisfaction, family well-being, friends, health, safety, and the environment. In studies on happiness, one thing stands out clearly: happy people tend to have deep and meaningful social relationships. Very rich people do not usually have more friends or better relationships. In fact, many times it is the opposite. In a culture that values money so much, people who do not have financial success often feel like failures, which generates a lot of unhappiness. We have built a system that glorifies wealth, and that makes us victims of greed. However, we are beginning to realize that maybe we should seek happiness elsewhere. Greed can be both a positive and a negative force. It can drive us to achieve our goals, but it can also lead to destructive behaviors. The key is to find balance, to know when it is enough, and to value the things that truly matter in life.